Voilà.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the study session of the University City City Council meeting to order on Tuesday, November the 12th at 5:30 p.m. Mr. Rose, do we have, first, oh, I apologize. Do we have any changes to the regular agenda from any members of council? Hearing none. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, tonight I'd ask that you receive a presentation regarding the summer camp program that we're proposing for 2025. Director Darren Kirtler will be presenting this information. We believe that we put together a program that will provide a very rich experience for those that participate, limits the number of participants, and at this point, captures most of the funds that are needed to sponsor the program. But Mr. Gertler will go into some detail regarding this, what is being proposed with you. Mr. Gertler?
Thank you, sir. Your Honor, City Council. Hold on, let me see if this works. Yeah, we CENTCOM University is what we came up with for this next year's presentation or this next year's program. And, we've looked at two different, we've looked at two different participant levels, one at 25 and one at 50. The red is 50 participants. And just the regular text is 25 participants. If you'll see the first slide on the red, you can see we're going from June 9th to August 1. So we're covering June and July. And we have many age ranges, and our ratios are on there as far as how many counselors we need per age group. So that's, so the red is, the revenue is, we're proposing $1,600 per week, which is an 8-week program. That would be $200 per week. The next page is just 25 participants. It shows the difference in, it only shows really the difference in revenue of 80,000 versus 40,000. The next slide shows the organizational chart for the camp. There's a camp director that we will need to, Merrick Meehan is one of our supervisors, and she will be the direct overseer of the whole program. And then we would need a camp director, an inclusion coordinator, some inclusion counselors, and several camp counselors, either with either 25 or 50. The next slide is
Mr. Kirtler, do you want to highlight what the inclusion coordinators are for those people who may not be familiar?
Oh, certainly. Inclusion coordinators are for any ADA or special needs students or participants. Yeah, that's necessary for the, we found in our survey of other communities, that's necessary for these programs. As you know, 2019 was the last time we had a program. Is that right? Okay. Yeah, 2019 was the last time we had a summer camp. So this is a new, basically brand new program. And it's more enriching, it's more educational based, as you can see here, activities and theme ideas. I'm not gonna read the slide to you, but many things that enrich more so than just being a basic daycare. Our goal was not to be a daycare for the community. So we are going to work to do the best we can Field trips for Fridays. We got the zoo. We got trampolines. We got water. We got the aquarium. We're working on pricing for all of that right now. And we'll be putting together, I think our budget's pretty close to what we're going to need. So the next page, I think, the next page is a sample week, a STEM week, where which is more of a tutoring and enrichment week. The next slide is 50 participants in the red. You can see at the bottom, it's about a $111,000 budget. And if we can get all 50 participants, it would be a $31,000 subsidy by the city. And if you look at the 25, and this is why we chose 50 and 25, it's an $81,000 expense, but there's still a $41,000 subsidy to the city due to the economies of scale. We still need inclusion counselors and other things. So with all that said, the final slide is just basically a few unknowns. We're working on all of that, but we have plenty of time to put all that together before summer, and probably before January, so we can start signups. And we would we will probably put a limit on the minimum at either 12 for the 20 half. 12 for the 25 and 50 and 25 for the 50 program, depending on which program we go with, 12, 25 or 50. So we're in the middle of the field trips, the transportation's not real, is fairly expensive. And the instructors were working on that, the snacks, fairly minimal, and then some t-shirts for the kids. So it's all inclusive, and it's 9 to 3, Linda. 9 to 3, no early program, no late program, right? Okay. And it's just that for that amount of time for the 2 months. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, Mr. Rose.
I was just going to add that we are proposing to limit the program to University City residents to start with. And that is in part because there is a subsidy that is coming from the city. So we're not capturing all of our cost, but we are capturing most of it. And for that reason, we're proposing that it be limited just to University City residents.
Are there questions from members of council? Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I want to acknowledge Director Girdler, Deputy Director Taylor, for a very thorough presentation. This PowerPoint, I will say, we've had some fine ones, but this is among the best that I can recall in terms of giving salient information, just formatted in a very digestible way. So I didn't realize there's a team of people who are generally responsible for these things, but thank you. This is excellent. Couple of questions. This does overlap with the University City School District program as well, correct?
Yes, I believe they do June.
Okay. And it does seem like this is different. I believe the city manager had articulated this when this was first conceived, that he wanted to make it different from the school district's program, which is decidedly more academic. It seems like that has been achieved here. Additionally, 25 versus 50, is that a decision? Are you looking for opinions from the council on that? Or are you still mulling it over in your own mind? And when will you make that determination whether you used to go with 25 or 50?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, I think going to 25 or 50 will be based upon what Darren and his staff believes they can manage. If it is believed that they can manage the 50, it won't be any greater than 50, but if they believe they can manage the 50, then I would, my intention would be to approve that, that level. But we want to ensure that, especially since this is our first time in some period for offering a program, that we do a high quality job.
Oh, absolutely. So what are the factors, I guess, Director Gerler, that will determine whether it's 25 or 50? And I don't have an opinion as I don't have a preference as to either.
The 50 is a more of economy of scale when you're talking like transportation to the zoo.
Yeah.
You get 50 kids on a bus versus 25 kids on a bus. You're spreading the cost out more. Right. So we would probably, we're leaning towards 50. And then we'll see how many kids we get. We can still do 25.
Sure. Okay. All right. Well, yes, thank you. This makes a lot of sense. I think it's a great focus. Again, it's differentiated from what the district is offering. So I think this is great. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Fuller.
Thanks. Great presentation. Love this. Considering, I know money's always a factor, considering what we're going to charge for this, is there going to be any consideration for like scholarships if we have two kids coming out of a family, or is that to be proposed? And then on top of that, is there any possibility that we could outreach to the community to say, set up a scholarship fund? Is there any plan, any thought on that?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Fuller. We have actually had some discussion regarding that. I think we'll continue. What we were considering was for those that are residents that may not be able to pay the full amount, that there would be an arrangement where they could provide, they could volunteer in one of our departments to make up that difference. And so that is still under discussion. The fire department, now that Fleet is up under fire, has indicated that they have a need for volunteers. So we'll reach out to some of the other departments as well. But I think that will be an important component to ensure that that it is not price prohibitive. So we want to have volunteer opportunities as well. But we want to ensure that we are giving equal opportunity for the program.
Anyone else? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gerler, for the presentation and the effort to begin putting this together. So my understanding is we had folks from the community come to us last year and say we'd like to see a summer program put together, and we hadn't had one for a while. So in essence, this is a test year for us. We're really starting from scratch. I just want to make sure I'm clear. It's 1600. You're in, it's one lump payment. You miss a week, you're still paying for the week you miss.
That's the way we set it up, correct, Linda? Yes, that's the way we set it up.
No, there's no breakout for someone who, let's say, wants to go, their child needs the extra help at school. They do June with the school district. They can't come in halfway through.
We can certainly consider that.
And that's what I mean. It's kind of, these are the kind of things I think if, depending on the turnout we get, mm-hmm. You're trying to put together, and I think you are, a quality program so that we can have people that want to use it because they've asked for what you're providing. What I heard last time this came before us was a full day, because otherwise we would have children running the streets of U City. I didn't believe that was the case, but that's what I was told. because I know those families weren't just letting their kids run around. They were, they actually found something for them, and we're going to be competing with whatever they were, they found while we didn't have this. So I'm glad we're putting something together that is substantial and can meet that need of a full day program. But my, my hope is as we get back and see this and how it falls out, we can make any of those tweaks where we can have half days if possible. Maybe give priority to people that want the full day, give priority to people who want the full 8 weeks. But then if there's open spots, we can get somebody in halfway. We can do, we can be more fungible if we get the outpour. Is that kind of what you're envisioning as next year and the year after?
Yes. Let's see what we can do this summer and then open it up for next year, for 26, and see what happens. And let's see what this summer gets us through. We'll report in August or September about this summer or 25 summer.
Yep.
And we'll do a report, Mr. Rose, on how we did.
Yeah, I was just going to, I think that's exactly what I wanted to see, was a real good effort and see where we go. And I think you guys are hitting that, and that's what we needed to see. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Smotherson.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Crow. So the thing that I'd like to read something real quick before I ask my question. And what I want to read is this. And it says that we know that physical activity has great health benefits for our children. But did you know that children who are more physically active have better academic performance, memory, and attention? It's true. They are more focused, stay on task, have better recall, and short-term memory. Now, so the question that I ask is, you're talking about a what I'm afraid and what I'm looking at, this weekly schedule that says STEM week. And this doesn't look like 1 week. It looks like the entire week or process.
No, that's...
So, or is it just 1 week? And that's what I'm trying to understand, because the question that I have is, why educational when we're recreational? That's what we are. We're recreational. And the other part of that is, where is... You know, Black youth are one and a half times more likely to drown. So where's the swimming program? Where is that? We have tennis courts. Where is that program? We have a golf course. Where is that program? Those are lifetime skills. Those are lifetime sports. And we have an opportunity to actually introduce that here. And we have the facilities to do that. So the question that I have is, because I understand this, but I will ask, why educational? We're recreational.
I can answer.
It's okay.
Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, I think the simple answer is that we can do both. Children can play and learn at the same time, and that's what our goal, our objective is with what we're proposing. So when children are out learning about, playing in the park, or they're learning to swim, they're capable of, I think, not just exercising, but exercising some math skills. So that's one of the things for the bowling, for example. We wanted them to be active, but we wanted them to both play and to learn. So this is the first attempt at bringing the program, summer program, back. This isn't the end, it's just the beginning of it. And certainly the intention is to continue to improve it. But I believe that I can respect the statistics that you shared with us. But I would also say that I know a number of basketball players and football players that were amazing athletes, but they didn't go anywhere because they did not focus on academics. They played, but they did not learn things that were outside of that. So that's the reason. But the study session is to get input from you and the council. If you want us to go a different direction, please let us know that. But right now our focus is on What can we do to ensure children can play and learn at the same time?
Yes, sir. And I do understand that. But again, that aspect of learning is that's our educational. I mean, that's what we have schools for. And if that's the failure of the schools, then we should actually be improving that. You have a short span of time with an 8-week program. You have an absolute short span of time. And one of the things that I see here is free play activities. I see swimming, get out of the pool, but I don't see instruction in that at all. And that's what I'm looking for, because I do understand that failure in reference to education. I'm not sure, but we can't lose sight of the physical aspect of it. We cannot lose sight of that. And that's what's happening in our educational program, because in our educational programs, they're leaving out. Now the kids they don't have recess. They don't go out and play anymore. They're not doing that as much, or not at all in some cases. So see, why are we attaching ourselves to that way of doing things, opposed to maintaining something that is absolutely true? And that is, and that's what we are, again, at recreational. And we should actually be focusing on the recreational aspect of what we can bring our kids. So I'm just stating that to the council. And that's what worries me, because we're starting to take things too far and leaving out and missing something that is absolutely critical for our kids.
Well, I had the pleasure of both my kids going through the camp program at CINCOM. So as one who speaks from history, I have a couple of questions. First off, I'd actually agree with Councilmember Smotherson on the fact that the tennis courts are right by CINCOM and the golf course isn't too far away. It's kind of intriguing. I don't know that I want to be the instructor on either of those days, but I think it could be something that would be worthwhile and beneficial for everybody. A couple of my questions that I would have is, and this may not be something, and Mr. Girdle, I know this is way before you got here, is if it's $1,600 now, what was it in 2019? And I have no idea.
It was around the $700 number.
Okay. And was it about the same period of time?
It was 8 weeks.
Okay. And then you'd mentioned that you did a survey. Can you tell me in your survey, the fees that we are charging, are we in the sweet spot, or are we on the high end or on the low end? I mean, you know, we are one of the communities that in my mind truly, truly represents economic diversity. And if we're just looking at the programs to the south of us, where there may be a little bit more economic freedom, I'm kind of curious as to where we are in this whole spectrum of the fees versus our other communities that do this.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We are at the high end with $1,600.
Okay.
I want to clarify that we're at the high end, but the experience that they are receiving in our program, the different functions are very different than the other programs, from my understanding, what they are offering. So it's higher because we're having to pay for those field trips.
No, I understand that part of the field trips. I guess my question would be, I think that we always have to know who our audience is. And I think that I'm just trying to make sure that if $1,600 is the program that we want, I think we have to ask ourselves how many folks can or will pay for that, and whether or not there may be some tweaks. And by the way, this conversation is coming early enough that we can have these conversations, and we can turn left or turn right where we need to. But I'm thinking if it went from the previous in 2019, 700 to 1600, totally different program. I get it. Inflation. I get it. But I think we need to be mindful of, if people are not buying what we are selling, then do we need to make an adjustment on that? I also would say, I'm assuming that the more we actually want more kids rather than less. That's my guess, but I'm not sure that that's my assumption. It may not be everybody else's. And then I had one other one that was it previously limited to University City residents, or we had ins and outs?
No.
Okay, thank you. And then finally, the subsidy that we've got listed, which varies between 25 and 50, varies depending on the number of folks. Is that subsidy similar to what we have done in the past?
It's it's less than what we've done in the past. In the past, the program, I think, believe, has been upwards of $250,000. Our max attendance.
Maximum attendance. Yeah, when my kids were in, got it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, yes.
Oh, well, thank you, Mayor Crow. I was curious the answer to the amount of subsidy.
I don't know if we got that.
And we probably have to be careful since we've got folks watching on Zoom as to the answers coming from the fifth row back versus at the microphone. So at some point in time, I think Mr. Girdler, if you or Linda can get us the number of what the subsidy was in 2019 or 2018, I think that is important for us as we go through this. We recognize that we'd like for people to pay their fair share. I also am going to tell you that I like the idea of the volunteer opportunities, but if I'm a single mom with two kids and I got a job or two, I'm not sure how much time I've got to volunteer. And so I think this is one of those things that we've got to pay attention to. In this particular case, I think that our community is benefiting tremendously right now from a number of economic development programs that are going on. And I believe it's good for us to make sure that if we can to provide as many services as we can for our youth. Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Let me attach to the mayor's comments regarding the volunteer experience potentially in lieu of pay. That, having tried to do something similar in St. Louis Public Schools, I'll be candid, it can be a lot because there's somebody's got to monitor that. Somebody's got to, if somebody doesn't do what they're supposed to do, then what? There's a lot to unpack with that sort of program. So I admire the thinking, but just understand that there are some practical challenges associated with implementing that kind of programming. You may be fully aware of them, but I thought I would say it for the good of the order. To Councilman Smotherson's point, when I read this, I see activity areas, the soccer facility, the gym, the tennis courts, the pavilion, the golf course. I took that to mean activities were happening in a variety in all those areas. Is that a fair assessment? I know you don't have them all laid out in a schedule format like you did for this one sample week, but is that a fair interpretation that things will be happening in all these places listed?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Thiemann.
Honorable Mayor, my fellow council members, I just wanted to reiterate, reinforce something that was said by my colleague to the right here. I am an old school teacher, spent 40 years in the classroom, have 3 degrees in the subject. And I want to commend you for this work. This is a tremendous amount of work in making what amounts to curricula. And I would just simply want to commend you for that and reinforce what colleague said.
Thank you, sir. It was a lot of staff work that went into this.
Yes, I think you can tell by the response from everyone up here that we're very pleased to be seeing this, and we look forward to helping make it a success. So I believe that's probably all the questions we have for Mr. Girdler. Thank you very much. And I believe unless there's anything else.
I just wanted to, because we will likely have another study session with you once we start kind of fine-tuning this, but you're okay with greater subsidy is what I'm hearing. If we're able to lower the price as a result of that, I think that we already have incorporated, in addition to the field trips, activities for swimming and golf and tennis and all of that.
As much as we could, yes, sir.
Yeah, because it's a full week program, not just one day each week.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
I believe that concludes this portion. So Mr. Rose will move on to the next item. Thank you.
or I'm about to see if it's working. Honorable Mayor and Council Members, with the retirement of the baby boomers, we are realizing that fewer high-quality people are available to fill our critical positions. Because of that, we must have an organization that can adapt to an ever-changing environment, one that is structured so that it takes full advantage of our limited number of employees and capable of delivering quality services efficiently and at a reasonable cost to our taxpayers. The changes that I hope to implement will reduce my span of control, facilitate providing more comprehensive feedback to department directors, and allow for the city manager's office to have a greater presence throughout the organization. What you see on your monitor is the current organization where it identifies the departments that are reporting directly to the city manager. And as you see, there are quite a few of the directors, in fact, all of the directors, and in addition, the city attorney, the judge, the city prosecutor, also report directly to me. What I'm proposing is a different structure that would allow for the changing some of the duties for the deputy city manager for development services, and would create or elevate the assistant city manager position to a deputy city manager over support services. I want to just focus a bit. Let me finish this up. It will also continue to have the larger departments reporting directly to me, public safety in particular. I want to take a couple of minutes and focus on the deputy city manager's positions. Starting out with support services, I'm proposing to place all of the support services up under one deputy city manager. That is with the exception, obviously, of finance, but information technology, which has a manager position, human resources, facilities, and communications. The human resources is a little different in the sense that it is the only director that would be reporting to the deputy city manager on the support services side. The deputy city manager for development, Brooke Sharp, would be filling this position. She would take responsibility for what I would consider a new area, community development. That would include economic development, housing, which is really housing in the Third Ward revitalization efforts. That would also include the parking garage would be up under her responsibility. The public works, parks, recreation, and keep in mind that for parks and recreation, it now also encompasses public area maintenance, which is our street maintenance, road work. And I would slim down the planning and development department to simply planning and zoning, which really more aligns with their functions at this point. They focus more on getting plans through our process, certainly the review of some of those plans, but they really are limited, I would say, on the economic development side. I'm proposing to have a much more robust economic development division. Let's see if I have that. Much more robust economic development division, and that would include elevating one of the current economic development coordinator's position to a manager position. In January of 2025, I will use your study sessions to present the proposed 2025-2027 work plan. The work plan will highlight several major initiatives, such as the execution of the Third Ward Revitalization Plan, continued transformation of our local economy, renovation of the police headquarters and Court Trinity Building, and developing a strategy for continuing to provide high quality services with what we are realizing are increasingly limited employees. For this restructuring to be successful, there are a few positions that must be reclassified and one that must be filled. Here's what I see on the horizon: a reclassification of the ACM position to a deputy city manager position, reclassifying one of the economic development coordinator positions to a manager position, and the hiring, if you accept the Third Ward Revitalization Plan, of the Third Ward Revitalization Coordinator. I'd be happy to respond to any questions that you have regarding the proposed restructuring.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. City Manager Rose, thank you for your presentation. So if I'm understanding things correctly, I might ask you to go back to I don't know which number slide. It, right there would be sufficient. So Public Works would be what? Well, the slide you were on,
that one
is fine. Okay. So in that scenario, in the scenario you've articulated here, Public Works would be run by a Public Works manager.
No.
Public Works director.
Yes.
Who would then report to the deputy city manager for development.
That's correct.
Okay. So would you, in breaking apart planning and zoning and community development, would you have a plan? You'd have a planning and zoning director? Or?
Yes. The actual functions for planning and zoning, for the most part, will not change. They will continue to do what they do today. But the reality is that they really, with the exception of processing applications, that's their role within the development process. Development is primarily economic development, which they have a role, but it's not the leading role in economic development, nor will it be the leading role in the execution of the economic development strategy.
So just so I'm clear, let me try to ask this more succinctly. So you will have a mix of managers and directors reporting in to the deputy city managers. So for example, IT is led by a manager, whereas Public Works in this scenario is led by a director.
That is correct.
Okay. The second thing I want to get some more understanding on, in most of organizations I've either been a part of or had insight into, human resources reports directly to the chief executive because of the sensitive nature of some of the things that they handle. And you want to, of course, limit the circle of people who are involved in a sensitive situation with an employee. So can you talk a little bit about why and maybe this was always the case and I just missed it, but why the human resources director does not report directly to use the chief executive?
I think it's primarily because of span of control that in order to be, to give more comprehensive, I would say feedback, in order to have that feedback occur more quickly and to have greater, I would say, involvement of the city manager's office. It just seems to, it's a support service. And that's why it was included in that support service function. And let me just also share with you, this isn't a structure that is, it's a structure that has worked for me in the past. So it's not something that I am, I'm very familiar with what is being proposed. I, unlike you, have worked in an organization where human resources, similar to what I'm recommending here, reported to they had assistant city managers, and I'm just simply calling them the deputy, but the same function.
Okay.
So yeah, it's not something that's unique. But don't misunderstand the structure of it. My intention is still to be, you know, certainly involved in the continued day-to-day activity of most of these departments. But it does allow for greater, I think, comprehensive feedback to the directors and provides an ability for them to get quicker responses in many instances to questions that they may have.
Any other questions of the city manager? My perspective would be, I think if you look at the org chart we're currently operating under, any of us having been in a corporate environment would say that if the CEO has, I think, is it 12 people, or well, I'm not sure, pretty close to the number of direct reports, that's probably not the best way to move forward. I also would say with Councilmember Clay, I think that he brings up a very good point, and that really is kind of a split between those who go direct to the CEO with HR and those who don't. And I kind of had a trip down memory lane going through the companies I've worked with as to who went to the CEO and who went to, in one case, the CFO was where HR went. So it's one of those areas where I think we'll look to the city manager as to what is the appropriate working order. So the number of the new position created with outside staff, if you will, is at least one as another deputy city manager. Am I correct?
What I'm proposing is to reclassify the current assistant city manager position. I just have not filled that in some time. I wanted to make up my mind regarding what I thought would be the best structure for a community. So that would be the reclassification of the assistant city manager. So the only new position in all of this is the housing and third ward revitalization position, which you will hear more about, I believe, on the 25th during the study session, where they'll present the plan. But that's the only new one. The other ones are just reclassifications of existing positions of the two.
Any other questions? Hearing none, thank you, Mr. Rose. And we will stand adjourned until 6:30.